You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, this is the True Hoop Podcast. I'm Henry Abbott. There's David Thorpe. And this is Brittany Brown. Hi, Brittany.
Hey, Henry. What's going on?
So last time you were here, like a couple of days ago, you're filling in for Gerard, who's, I think, in the Caribbean. And then we got a note from a longtime listener named Mo, who said they thought it was extra weird for two middle-aged white guys to have a black woman on the show who didn't talk. If you're watching the video, the camera's on. But you're mostly audio producing. Mm-hmm. But I thought this time maybe we should do a little better job introducing you. You play college basketball.
I did. I played for Kentucky State a long time ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love the game. I can't escape it. So I'm around it as much as I can be.
And we met you through Jody Avergon, who's like, how would you? Jody's like a kind of, I would say, kind of a celebrity podcast producer. Does that seem fair? And what do you work on for Jody?
Yes. Oh yeah, we got some cool former stuff coming ESPN. Up. Some stuff I can't quite talk about yet, but we're working kind of in the basketball arena, the NBA arena, and I can't wait for you guys to see what we got cooking up. It's super okay. Cool.
Secret basketball stuff. I like it. Okay. So Brittany's here, everybody. Brittany, chime in if you want to at any time. Otherwise, it'll just be a bunch of white guys talking, and that's got its downsides. You know what I'm saying? All right. So David, some time ago, I guess like 20 years ago, how long ago was
it? 2014,
2010. 10 years ago?
No,
this thing was 2010.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So 14 years ago, that's how old LeBron is. He was still in Cleveland before the decision, and you were telling me that he just looked, you're reading his body language, which is I think most times reading body language is an absolutely crap way for anyone to learn anything, but you're good at it. I feel like David's good at reading body language. It's not so different from reading basketball movements and stuff. And you were like, he's just not happy. And of course, we know what happened is he ended up leaving in free agency. You have similar vibes right now watching Steph and the Warriors. Tell me what you were seeing there.
Yeah, well, just to rephrase it, I mean, I literally said to you, and I called my brother Mike down in Miami, I think LeBron's going to go play with Dwayne because they had just played together for Team USA, maybe the Olympics. I don't remember which one it was. And Dwayne Wade, one of the two or three best players on the planet, came off the bench. I think LeBron was thinking, I want to partner with that dude. I did not have any idea about Chris Bosh. And so, watching Steph Curry last night, they just got murdered by the Raptors. Gave up 66 paint points. And I don't think Siakam played the fourth quarter. I'm not sure Poeltl played the fourth quarter. Like, it was over. They cut it to nine. They were down 27 and a half. They cut it to nine. The Raptors finished the third quarter well because they did not have a good third quarter. Toronto didn't. And never had to put at least a couple of the starters back in. Scotty went back in and RJ did. RJ had, I think, 37 at least. Murdered them in the paint. Killed Curry in the paint. I just went back and watched it again today. A lot of their early – they scored like 40 in the first quarter. Back-to-back possessions, Scotty just abused Steph Curry in the paint for buckets. And one time – Steph kind of turned around as if to say, like, does no one see what's happening here? Like, these really tall, powerful men are scoring on me. These could be power forwards 15 years ago. RJ Barrett looks like a power forward too. He just looked really, really like, I don't remember him ever looking like that before. Lifeless. Now, he could have been sick. Like, there's all sorts of things that could be. Or he could be not physically sick, but sick of this. And they have been playing a little bit better. And I was saying to you earlier, you know, Draymond Green is their new hope. You know, he's a changed man coming back. I think you and I both would agree we're rooting for him. I think you and I have both been a very strong champions of his a role on their championship teams. He's a plus-minus monster. He was huge
for
them.
He was a plus-minus monster. Yeah.
Was a plus-minus monster, and we fell in love with him for that. But that's not a great strategy to think he's going to be the difference in what their problems are.
He's a 50th percentile defender right now. He's an average NBA defender right now. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a superpower, right? And he's shooting threes well. It doesn't really matter. They're structurally so flawed. But the biggest thing was just Curry looked so defeated. Even in the first quarter, he looked defeated. And they really weren't very competitive most of the game. You know, a good portion of the game wasn't competitive. I don't have an answer where I did for LeBron going to Miami. I don't know where Steph would go. But it's not going to go well in Golden State, almost for sure. The chances are so minimal that they're going to do anything special. And so then what, right?
So just put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that. But then you found these Giannis quotes. Wow. Like, he went 16-25 from the field with 17 rebounds, but they lost for the third time in four games. And he said, "You have to be better." Oh, remember, no pop quizzes on the show. That's like a rule.
It was Houston, I think. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Houston. Yeah, it was Houston. Giannis said, "We have to be better. We have to play better. We have to defend better. We have to trust one another better. We have to be coached better. Every single thing. Everybody has to be better. It starts from the equipment manager. He has to wash our clothes better." That's probably not going to happen, by the way. The bench has to be better. The leaders of the team have to be more vocal. We have to make more shots. We have to defend better. We have to have a better strategy. We have to be better. We have 4 months to get better, so we'll see. Oh, what do you make of that?
What do you hear in that? What do you take from that? Because I have my own opinion.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I feel just about this thing we were talking about. We have an 8 a.m. Monday morning editorial meeting, and we were looking at the ratings map from Dunks and Threes, which you can kind of see, like, I wish I could show you through audio, but it's a map of the best offenses and defenses in the NBA in an intelligent way, kind of arrayed out. And you can see the Celtics are at the top of the pile. The Sixers and Thunder and Nuggets are kind of grouped some chunk behind there. And then there's like a next tier down, and with the Knicks and the Clippers and the Pelicans and the Bucks and the Timberwolves. And like, that's not where the Bucks were supposed to be, right? Like, they're spending a whole bunch of money in the small market. If Giannis in his prime, they just got Dame. They're not supposed to be like 7th, 8th, 9th in line to the throne, right? Warriors are another chunk behind that. So this is what I see, is just like, this is where deep enough in the season that we get a sense of who's good and who's not good. And this Bucks roster construction, this new Bucks coach, whatever the thing is, I don't know who to blame, but like, they wanted to be up there with the Celtics or ahead of the Celtics, right? And they're not at all, right? They're very much in the pack. They're maybe a little behind where they were a year ago.
I thought that I feel like Adrian Griffin's being called out there, because he mentions coaching twice, and it's basically strategy and coaching. He's a rookie coach. It's hard. It's a hard league, and it's hard to figure stuff out. And I feel like he's frustrated with that, because I don't think he's trashing his players, who he's mostly won with, and, you know, other than Dame. And that's solvable. There's a solvable problem, but it's just, it's hard. It's, you know, Darvin Ham is in year two and hasn't figured this out. Frank Vogel, who's, I think, well-respected as a coach, has won a championship, has not figured out how to get Phoenix to do it right. There's a reason why they change coaches so often in the Premier League and in European soccer. That the voice isn't working in L.A. It's not working in Milwaukee. May not be working in Golden State, by the way, as much as we think Steve Kerr is great. I've had a lot of people tell me, connected to him, that he won't be there next year, that he's going to leave. We'll see. I have no idea. But it's a mess in Milwaukee. And so you and I, you know, I wrote, and we said this before the season, they should, instead of trading for Dame, they should trade Giannis and just get tons of stuff. And my trade partner was OKC. I just think the Warriors have got to be thinking, not what's best for them, what's best for Steph. He's that kind of legacy player. We've talked about this before. Because this team's not going to do it. I mean, it'd be highly improbable that they're going to do anything special.
The trade deadline is next month. And
1 month from today.
1 month from today, and it just seems to me, okay, so the Celtics have the fifth highest payroll. The 76ers have the eighth highest. The Thunder are 21st. The Nuggets are sixth. Those are the best teams in the league. Those are the people who know they're contending right now, right?
Yeah.
Which means the four like all-in win now teams with the huge salaries are not among those top contenders, right? So, and it's just amazing the amounts of money. They're going to blow away all the records for luxury tax this year. These teams that aren't going to win the championship, right?
The Clippers would be the one team. They didn't get Harden to start. They've been much better with Harden. But still, your point is these other teams aren't going to win, and they're paying. Go ahead and tell them what they're paying.
I had to like shake my head a little bit, like check it again and make sure that these numbers are right. These are not the salaries that they're paying. This is the luxury tax that these teams are paying. The Golden State Warriors are, and it's according to Sportrack, they're going to pay $186 million in luxury tax this year. In 2021, the most luxury tax that the whole league together had ever paid in 1 year was $160 million. So just the Warriors are going to pay $186 million.
Wow.
The Clippers are not far behind at $142 million. The Suns, who we never even mention among contenders anymore, are $51 million. And the Bucks are at $57 million. So, like, these are teams that have, in most cases, given up all of their draft picks, all of their to like win now. And the trade deadline's coming up, and they have GMs who told their billionaires that this was it. We have everything we need. We've dialed it all in, right? We have the spaceship that's going to go to the moon. And they're like, meow, like a little fizzle. Maybe we can talk about the Clippers, and then when you see Giannis going to the media and Steph looking super disgruntled, I'm like, man, you have to think about trades when you think about these teams, because it's not going to be easy to convince these billionaires to do the same thing again next year and the year after that. And like these are not win now teams, even though they're built to be.
I think that's what you just said is really the whole thing we have to look at, the prism that we need to look through the viewer for. And that is, are they going to be willing to do this next year? I love that thought.
Yeah.
Is okay, I did it your way, and it cost me this amount of money, this fortune. I could buy other teams, lots of other teams, not in the NBA, but elsewhere, for that money that I just spent I got nothing for it.
Yeah.
I just saw the end of Moneyball recently, like the last, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, when Brad Pitt's character, he's playing Billy Bean, is meeting with the guy that runs the Red Sox. And
John Henry.
Of course, it's a fictional meeting. It happened probably, but I don't remember how it went in the book. We don't really know what was said. But he basically says, I know how much you paid for a win where you were, when what we paid for a win in Boston. Like, that conversation is going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly because they're paying they're paying the most anyone's ever paid for a win in NBA history, and maybe sports history, for American sports anyway. It's really outrageous what they're doing. And we didn't love Phoenix going into the season because, I mean, they'd be fine, but they just have a lot of holes on their team. I thought Golden State would be much better. Wiggins is – I was so sad for him last night. I don't know what his final numbers were, but I was watching the game. He was just terrible. He just couldn't make shots. He wasn't not competing. Couldn't make shots. There's a lot of mess, but I think you're dead right. That's the thing is how does the owner tell the GM, and what does the GM say? Oh, no, it'll be better next year. Like, that's a hell of a pitch to make.
And I don't think this is somewhat predictable, right? I don't think it's coincidence that Bob Myers removed himself from the Warriors, right? And Mike Winger slipped out the back door from the Clippers too, right? Like they're years into these meetings where they're like, oh, when we get Clay back, like, oh, it's going to be amazing. And it's like, it was all wrong. It just wasn't.
Right. Well, tell me if I'm wrong. Did Winger not take a GM job?
Yeah, he's in Washington.
Right. He's the GM of the Wizards now. So at least he has an excuse. Bob Myers, I think, we have heard rumors for a long time about that. But yeah, you got it. This team was not built. Something has failed because some of these guys shouldn't. Draymond Green shouldn't have had that much of a fall. Now we'll see what happens. Draymond said he's a changed man. We've all heard that before from people, not from Draymond, from people. It doesn't typically happen. We're rooting for him. I hope things are different. That doesn't help Andrew Wiggins make more shots. that they're relying on the kid from Santa Clara, Poznanski, and Trace Jackson David, who I really like, the kid from Indiana. They're both rookies, and they're good rookies, but they're rookies, not top one, number one pick or anything like that. Trace went undrafted, maybe late second round. He might have got drafted late second round, but I stopped watching at that point. But he wasn't drafted in the first round, and you're depending on those guys. It's not gonna go. Gary Payton's hurt again. Chris Paul's now out for, Linda's saying, 4 to 6 weeks. That's a messy situation there.
And then in kind of digging into this, we were noting, like, another factor with the trade deadline is that all of this money that we're talking about, it's about $500 million, all the teams combined in luxury tax, is going to the, well, that was a question. Where is it going? That was your question. It's a good question.
I was curious, yeah.
I brazenly said that they distribute it to the other teams, which is kind of true, but actually then I decided to actually look up the right answer. So, of course, I went to Larry Kuhn's salary cap FAQ. And this is such an interesting little NBA thing. Okay, so they're going to collect $500 million. That's actually 530-ish million if the number, you know, it could all change with trades, but that's what it would slate it to be now. So up to 50% of the tax money may be given to non-tax-paying teams. So there's about 20 teams that won't pay in. So conceivably, they will split 260-whatever million.
And that's distributed to the players?
No, to the owners of the 20 teams.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Any tax money not distributed to teams will be used for, quote, league purposes. In other words, at least 50% of tax revenue will be used for league purposes each season. League purposes essentially means for any purpose the league decides, including distributing the money back to teams. Currently, 50% of the tax revenue is used as a funding source of the revenue sharing program, which is where they basically supplement small market teams. And the remaining 50% is distributed to non-taxing teams in equal shares. So this is like, okay. And then he has a little chart of how this has gone in the past. So like in 2022, they collected, then a giant record was $481 million, and they distributed $10.5 million to each of the non-taxpayer teams, and then $240 million went into the revenue sharing program. So that's how it has normally worked. But how about this? This is a classic league thing. The league reserves the right to do whatever the hell it wants with that money, right? This is the when teams complain. If you get the people who go to the board of governors meetings and they complain about the league, this is what they complain about: is all of the rules are whatever the league decides, right? So like people are positioning their team for years to collect this revenue. It's a giant revenue for if you're a team trying to be in the black, right? Like, and then they might not get it because the league might just be like, oh, we're going to use it for our new China program or whatever they want. They can use it for whatever they want. Like,
right. So OKC is going to be number one in bonus wins in a sense. If you look at how much money they're spending and then you subtract whatever they get from the league, and yet they're, you know, one of the better, you know, one loss teams in the league. And that owner, who's notoriously not willing to spend much money, is probably not going to want his team to get into the tax so he can take part of that revenue share of the other money.
Oh, definitely so. And someone who knows more about the cap than me should weigh in on this. But like, according to SportTrack right now, the Lakers are just like, they're just going to miss out on this. So think about this. Like, LeBron's got a tiny whisper of time left in his prime. He's agitated. We could have put him on the agitated list too, right? He just said we suck right now. He had a whole speech about this.
Yeah.
So he's for sure going to Jeannie Buss and saying we need to just spend a little more money and get some help with the deadline. And she's like, man, if we spent, I think it's like $3 to $4 million less, then we'd get
money,
10, 12, whatever the number's going to be, back, right?
Yeah.
Who wins that? Like, my guess is.
And, that's a good question. And I'm not sure another player matters. They're stacked in terms of talent, that team. It's just not working. AD is playing fantastic. If they had won 10 more games this year, AD is an MVP candidate. He's incredible. LeBron's been great, not very good, great, not elite, but great. And I think they're below 500. They're out of the play-in game right now. The Lakers are. They're not in the. Yeah. They're not candidates for that. So, yeah.
So you've been a little bit like it's. You've never not been a Darvin Ham fan, and now he's really feeling the heat. When Jeannie Buss has to, like, I don't know if you saw, like, Jeannie Buss sent a note to Sam Emick, wrote, like, basically that, like, Darvin Ham wouldn't have been fired even if they had lost to the Clippers. Like, I think the tone of the article was that he's got some job security, but when they have to write that article, like, you don't have job security, right? Like, that's a terrible situation.
Yeah.
Jeannie's supporting Darvin right now, but.
Right. Not for long. And yeah, I'm waiting for LeBron to give the Giannis speech. We need to get better at washing clothes. And but all of that's directed to something. I'm feeling they normally direct it to the boss, which they should. The coaches deserve blame for a lot of that stuff. They just aren't building the right things. Guys take bad shots. They don't give effort on defense, or they don't give smart effort. They don't play smart at all. And we have what we have. You know, the better coach teams are lucky.
So when we're looking at that little chart of the,
yeah,
you know, the contending teams, what do you see? Like, do you agree? I casually am saying that the Celtics, Sixers, Thunder, Nuggets look like contenders on there. Am I missing people?
Yeah, I have to go back and look at it. Yeah, so like I said, I've been happy with the Clippers. They lost, obviously, a game last night that, you know, I'm sure they're unhappy losing, but they're moving in the right direction. I mean, if you look at the whole season, they're just good. They're not great. They're just a little above the Pelicans, who no one sees as a contender right now, but the Pelicans are playing pretty good. But yeah, I mean, to me, Boston, Philly, I don't trust Minnesota because as you can look on that map, you can see their bad offense, but we know their offense is bad. Milwaukee, it's their defense that's been the problem all season. And it shouldn't be as much of a problem. They, you know, that's been a strength of theirs in the past or whatever they're doing. I've not really focused in on it too much other than to say they're not doing well. But I think your point, and you said this last week, surprises don't typically come almost ever. You know by January who our contenders are. That doesn't mean you can't have a team make a run like Atlanta made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. You can have some of those, but the teams that ultimately play for the Final Four and then obviously the championship, we kind of know by January who that's going to be. ESPN just did an article on a few things, but trading was a big deal. There are some very good players potentially available. It's a guess if they're available or not, but we think they might be. And there's some teams that really could use some guys. In fact, I'm writing about one of them at your request this week in OKC. But there are teams, including Milwaukee. I just don't think they have any assets to get players. That's the issue. What makes OKC so intriguing is they do. Mm-hmm. So they're right there with some of these other teams, but they're loaded with assets. So that's what I'm exploring this week. Phoenix doesn't really have anything. And this is why you got to have young players and develop them. Because even if you don't decide to keep them, because you want to win now as opposed to waiting 2 or 3 years, you better have a guy that people value. Ooh, I want that guy. And then you can, you know, get something forward. So some of those teams on that list don't have anything, and some do. And those guys have a big advantage. No one has more advantage than OKC.
For sure. So these all these other teams, you know, the Heat, the Lakers, the Cavaliers, the Mavericks, the Raptors, the Suns, the Warriors, the Pacers, the Hawks, like all, Nets, all of them together, they're just not winning, right? Is that without a change, without some big change? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, big is not even the right word. You know, change. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. We're exiting the parody, like, part of the season, right? Like, we don't have 10 contenders.
Yeah.
Like, we're down to
handful. Right. Right. There's some teams that have moved. If there's a deal out there that I don't see, great. But our championship bus got really small.
Yeah.
Our
championship. You know what the funny part is to me is, like, the Knicks are there, right? The Knicks are in this conversation in the advanced stats at least. But come on, they're not winning. Come on, the Knicks aren't going to win. We all know the Knicks aren't going to win.
I think I'm glad you mentioned the Knicks. So there's a couple factors there. Mitchell Robinson has been really terrific defensively and is not playing right now. And yet their numbers or ratings are pretty good. And I think RJ Barrett sucked for them. Like, he was way worse. They were way worse when he was playing. Well, he's in Toronto now. He's at career high last night, but that wasn't happening in New York. And OG is there. And so there, I'm not arguing with you. It doesn't seem likely at all that this team can win all the playoff series. They can win one. They did last year. OG, I think, is a very good fit for what they're trying to do. And I think it's addition by subtracting, getting RJ out so they can breathe even more, because he's a kind of a ball-centric guy that isn't very efficient and mildly productive, but not very efficient typically. So they can be a thorn in someone's side and knock someone out potentially, but I don't see them winning. The only team I would say that you mentioned was Miami. I'm not counting them out. I feel like Jimmy's not been playing a lot. I do think there's a deal for them in place, even though Kyle Lowry's been good. And I think Spo's amazing. And they've been pretty good, despite Tyler was out for a long time. Jimmy's missed a lot of games. Bam's been very good. Yeah, I do think, and they're depending on a rookie, but he's done pretty well at Jaime Jaquez. So, again, history tells us that's the one team that's already pulled two finals appearances out of thin air, it seems. And they're better now. This team's better than those teams, I think. Yeah.
And what kind of trade what kind of trade should they make?
I don't trust Kyle. I think they need a better point guard. I don't trust Tyler either. Not that I would necessarily trade Kyle, but you might have to. Tyus Jones, I think, would be good for them. I've not really broken it down yet. But Tyus Jones is a good player for anyone. There'll be more than one team, I think, going after him. I don't think he'll finish the season on the Wizards. Him, Kuzma, I trust less. But someone may go after him. But Tyus, I trust. I think he was a big part of very stable teams in Memphis. And I think he'll play better defense when he leaves Washington. Plays the right way, good offensive player. I think four straight years led the league in assist to turnover ratio. In a place like Miami that really values ball security anyway, that'd be a good fit. But Minnesota could use him too.
You guys, in our behind the scenes conversations, like Tyus Jones is like David's top trade target, right? Like the guy that you can't believe is kind of being wasted in Washington.
I watch him too and feel like, oh. Like, I don't know Tyus, but he tries to smile a lot. But I think, you know, he's like, what am I doing? This team is, we're trying to be bad. That's not fun. Not fun to be on a bad team. We didn't talk about Minnesota very much. They have amazing defensive metrics, not amazing offensive metrics. That's why I think Tyus would be good for them. But then he and Mike together, Conley, would be very good. Anthony Edwards is terrific. I'm growing to being a huge fan of his. They're not doing as well as they were. They had a loss yesterday to a very average Mavericks team. Actually, we should talk about Dallas too, because Luka is incredible. Kyrie has his moments, but that team isn't winning a championship. I'm sorry. I don't think they're very good. Yeah.
No.
And Orlando's in that mix in the ratings. They're not, but they are an interesting team to watch going forward. And they've got my pick for coach of the year.
Go on.
Yeah, just the way the Magic are playing and defending, the way Paolo's growing as a player. He's definitely a max extension guy. Everyone thought he might be, but he definitely is. And, the way the young guys are coming up. Franz Wagner had a bad start. He's coming around. I think Jamal Mosley's done a hell of a job. They have a winning record, and they're young.
Yeah.
It's not like they have a bunch of veterans. They're a young team. So I think Jamal has done a tremendous job.
Okay. Who are the other candidates for Coach of the Year? Mark Dagnall.
He's probably going to get it because OKC has made this huge jump. So, yeah, I think he's going to be there. I think Chris Finch probably gets some votes for what Minnesota's done. Yeah, I don't think people expected that. I think Ty Lue probably – who?
Ime Udoka probably gets some votes.
Deservingly so. Deservingly
Houston's
so.
A lot better, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they look like a real basketball team now.
Yeah.
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 But I think Jamal, I think what they've done is the most impressive. We have a long way to go. We do. We're not even halfway to the point yet. Yeah. So teams can go and lose 15 to 20 and everything changes. But right now, Orlando looks legit. Like, they're not a fun team to play against the way they defend and get after people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a little break. We'll be right back. Okay, so the Celtics killed the Pacers. Did we learn anything important from that?
Well, Indiana had been really rocking and rolling since the in-season tournament. I'm sorry. After the in-season tournament, they were not rocking and rolling. And then they got back on that rocking and rolling train and had big wins on the road, beat the Knicks at home in Indiana. And I think it won four or five in a row and was just demolishing teams offensively. Put up 150 the other day, I think. And Boston is just – and Porzingis didn't play much. He got an eye laceration. Didn't play a lot. And they still waxed him. Yeah, Boston – I just, you know, when you, when you're that team, this is just going back over history, not forget about data for a minute, that team is the one that keeps ending winning streaks. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the marks of when you're one of the best teams is you're just rolling in town and beating pretty much everyone you play. Boston, it's an embarrassment of riches in the starting five. Embarrassment. Derek White, it may be their worst starter. Oh, I'm sorry. Jrue Holiday, you know, worst starter. The way they defend, Porzingis has been really a perfect fit so far. I worry about their bench, but they seem to be doing just fine. They got a bunch of shooting, really, and guys that play hard. Tatum had a really interesting quote. May have been after that game or the game before. And they play Indiana tonight in two games in three nights. You know, the NBA does that now. That'll be interesting because I think Indiana is good, legit, offensively anyway. Tatum said he and Joe Mazzulla, the head coach, watch a lot of film together. I can tell you from experience that not a lot of players are saying that. I have a business because of that. It's really – it's good to hear. I like that. Boston seems to be on just a really good emotional tone. The team just has a really good emotional tone. And, yeah, they don't seem to panic when they don't play well. They seem to be pretty humble when they do, which is not easy to do. Right now they're the favorites to win everything, I think.
And so the Pacers have this, like, one of the best offenses of all time, right? And so hats off to Rick Carlisle and Tyrese Halliburton, everybody, for creating
Tyrese
this.
Tyrese Halliburton,
yeah. Whatever. they just do a weird thing on defense, right? Well, I think there were some Celtics quotes after the game. I forget. Maybe Jaylen Brown, but somebody was like, yeah, we just, you know, we just tried to get Tyrese isolated on D because they don't help. And we should just beat him up. And that was like, it was like they were daring us to do that. I paraphrase terribly, but like they have this guard your yard concept. Can you tell us about the Pacers defense and why is it so bad?
Yeah. So first of all, one of the ways the team started playing better when they were struggling after they lost to the Lakers in the finals was they moved Aaron Nesmith into the starting lineup and Andrew Nemhard, probably their two best defenders, not including Miles Turner at the rim. So definitely two best perimeter defenders. By the way, it's a short list of good defenders on that team. Tyrese and Ben Mathurin are houses on fire defensively.
Really bad.
Although Mathurin's definitely playing better overall, not defensively, I don't think. And then Nemhard had some back issues, so he's been out. Bruce Brown banged his knee up. He's okay on defense, and yet they were still winning games. But yeah, they're basically they're trying to take away your three. So they might be. I didn't look the last 10 days, but they were like leading the league in 3-point defense in terms of whether it's percentages or I think maybe it's more attempts that you're giving up, but getting murdered at the rim. You know, I always compare it because I'm a simple man to boxers. Who choose to protect their head and give up their gut, or they protect their gut and give up their head. You shouldn't have to do that. You should be able to defend both a little bit. Indiana has chosen to give up their gut, the dunks and the paint shots, to protect the three. That doesn't mean they can't grow beyond. I have a feeling, and I don't know this. My guess is they're trying to figure out who do we have that can, quote unquote, guard your yard. And we'll fail in that experiment of who can do it. So they're part of our future because Tyrese can't or isn't anyway at all. He's brilliant offensively, not against Boston the other night, but when you've got Jrue Holiday and Derek White, like you don't plan on having your career best game. I promise you. Yeah. It's not going to happen. When you play the Wizards, you can bank on it, but Pacers too, but not Boston. So Tyrese struggled some, but, I think that's what the thinking is. We've got to surround Tyrese with plus defenders in as many spots as possible. And we're trying to figure it out. They're not expecting to win anything this year. As it is, they're trying to get in the top six. It's possible that they get there. But I I don't love that. I wish they would do a little bit more help and recover rather than not help or help at the last minute and give a better fight. And I wouldn't be surprised second half of the season that they do that. They've already made the decision to bench Mathurin. We'll bring him off the bench, which is what I think his role should be anyway, as a six-man scorer. And Nemhard's, I think, back tonight. I have no idea how much he'll play. Nesmith is a good defender. He's been he was not a good player for Boston. He's been I like him for Indiana. Jairus Walker doesn't really get much run. He might start. He's an interesting prospect, but I'm not sure that was the best pick for them. But the bottom line is they're winning with offense only, and it's incredible until it's not. And when it's not, they're smoked because they really
if
aren't.
If they could play average defense, they're contenders.
Oh my God. Like, they'd be like Denver last year.
Yeah.
Denver was about average for the season.
Rick Carlisle took if I'm not mistaken, those Mavericks had a lot of bad defenders, but they turned it into a championship team, right? Like, it seems like he's got more game than this, right? Like, as a maestro of a defense.
Yeah, and he's got a defensive. Lloyd Pierce was a defense coordinator, I thought, last year. Maybe not. Maybe Ron Norad was. But yeah, whatever it is, it's been bad all along. It's not new. And the hope is, and this is just a hope because I've talked to no one about this, is, and we've talked this before, if you want to win now, then you have to have strategies that help you win now. If you're not as worried about winning now, then you can employ strategies that allow you to discern who can be part of, as we've talked about on this show a lot, who's going to be part of our team we're contending for a title. And so one of the filters they can use for that is their ability to defend someone without needing help. Ball screens are a little different, obviously.
It's like a big fat training camp, like a big assessment program, a big kind of like,
because to your point, which is a great point, I argue this all the time, just because you're not good at something doesn't mean you'll never be good at something. And so they first have to find out what you can and can't do. And you need a good 25, 30, 35 games, not just to learn what it is we're failing at, but also to start diagnosing the problems and creating solutions and then implementing those strategies to solve those problems. And so players who are struggling to defend one-on-one, let's say, and you give them good strategies to get better and they don't, well, that guy's got to be gone. That doesn't mean he can't play well for someone else. They just can't play the way we're trying to play. And so, but the guys that do start making progress with the suggestions you're making, again, if they're doing it, this isn't a great thing the NBA does typically en masse, is diagnose problems and offer solutions, implement those solutions, and see those solutions executed in a way where players get better. They just don't typically do that very well. There's individual stories of greatness, but that's not common. So if indeed Indiana's trying that, they got a ton of evidence. There's a lot of data to show what you're bad at. And I'll link right now to the Spurs, who were getting smoked out all season. But if you've watched lately, they lost to Cleveland in the last seconds the other night. They're more competitive. You're starting to see growth. Devin Vassell is a few months younger than RJ Barrett. They both have big deals. But Devin is an up-and-coming. He's 23 years old. Like, he turned 23 in the school year this year. If you were in August, he turned 23. This is a young guy. And he's really starting to kind of walk that path of a two-way stud. And he doesn't have to be the number one on that team. That's Victor. And Victor is growing. And that Victor's growth is helped also by these other guys, Trey Jones and Kelton Johnson. Jeremy Sochan's been okay off the ball. Not a point guard. That's for sure. So, and they can make some trades. Jetty Osmond probably gets traded. Doug McDermott probably gets traded. They're helpful now because they're veterans. But you can start seeing some growth there. And whereas Indiana, I don't know that we've seen much yet, except for the couple of guys we know that do play defense. Mathurin is scoring more efficiently. He's definitely passing better, which was a major problem for Ben Mathurin. To me, he's an off-the-bench guy, which is fine. I think off-the-bench scoring is really valuable.
And so the Pacers, with their ongoing defensive lab or their learning, like, I guess this feeds into the trade deadline too, right? I mean, they've been hot in the rumor mill anyway. So presumably, Rick Carlisle's thinking we could have a good defense soon. Or okay defense?
Well, how do you get better defense? You change your strategies. You get your guys to play better, or you bring in new personnel. And so Buddy Hield, I believe, is a free agent. Everyone thinks he'll get traded. There are some teams that really need shooting. Mm-hmm. So you should be able to move him. TJ McConnell doesn't always play. I think he's a good player. And they've got Tyrese and Nembhard backing him up. And Bruce Brown, who was the backup point guard for the world champions last year. There's three mm-hmm. dudes. So it makes sense. He's got 1 year left on his deal, I think, for $9 or $10 million. That makes some sense. I don't know about Mathurin and Jairus Walker. Those are first-round picks, lottery picks that they're probably not willing to part with. Nesmith is playing better. I would hate – he's got a good contract. I think it would be a mistake to trade him. But they're rumored to go after Siakam and OG. Well, OG is off the table now. Siakam isn't. He didn't sign an extension. He's able to be traded. So, Pascal, who's not the defender he used to be, still a plus defender typically, and has been part of a championship team and great defenses, he makes them much, much better. But I don't know that Indiana is going to do that because he's a free agent. They can wait till the offseason and try to get him, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting. So the Lakers beat the Clippers. I know that means a lot to the Lakers, but are they saved at all? Or do they still, as LeBron says, they suck?
You know, it's interesting how narrative can dictate things to fans in general. I don't think it does. LA, the Clippers played poorly in that game. They've been playing well. I think the Clippers are going to be a very tough out. Staying healthy, which is a whole separate thing. But I trust Ty Lue. I trust all those, their main guys. And I like their glue guys and Terrence Mann and Ivaka Zubac. The Lakers, they should be doing this a lot. They're super talented. Austin Reeves has been a disappointment. He's playing better, though. It would not surprise me at all. What are their next? They think they play Toronto tonight, tomorrow night. I think they play Toronto tomorrow night. Toronto's been playing better since the trade. Doesn't mean they'll play well the next game, but they haven't. They're 3-1, and they lost to Sacramento in a great game, actually. Very competitive game. I could see Toronto beating LA. LA's no juggernaut. And then I'm waiting for the LeBron to give us the Giannis gripe. I'm waiting for that, Henry. I want to hear LeBron do the Giannis gripe of the long list of what we got a better at, but really targeting towards someone. Yeah. And the agency,
but then what? I mean, they can't really. The team. They're not going to get a new coach midseason and take off, though, right? I mean, that's just not how the world works.
I don't think it'll solve the problem. No.
Yeah.
Other than. Yeah, right. We've talked about some really good players to be traded. He's one of them.
LeBron.
Not that I think it will. His agency runs the team. Yeah.
LeBron. Yeah. No, I don't think.
Yeah. No.
I mean, there's logic to it for sure, right? Like the Lakers could get. I feel like, honestly,
for both parties.
Yeah.
For both parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, imagine, I don't know what team, we could talk about this. I don't know what team yet. But imagine seeing LeBron win a championship for some other team. That'd be great for LeBron fans and for LeBron's family and everything else.
Yeah.
You know? It ain't going to happen in LA this year, it looks like.
I mean, I'm a huge LeBron fan, but he's a very controlling dude, right? And this is the reason he got control of the whole damn franchise. Like, he doesn't really play for the Magic now. You know what I mean? take orders from people. Yeah. Like, come on.
Right. That wouldn't be the team either. But yeah, I hear your point.
Who would it be? Who would it be?
No, I don't know. It's a fair thing to wonder. OKC, he'd be unbelievable there. But do you see that happening?
Oh, hell no.
No. But he'd be great. He doesn't mind being the second best player to AD. He still kind of controls the team. He won't be the second best player to Shea.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that happening. And Shea might be MVP.
Philly.
He's right there, wouldn't you think? Yeah, I don't love it, Philly, although LeBron, I think, is shooting really well.
Yeah.
This goes to your comment about the trust issues. Embiid's a lot more like Shaq than not like Shaq. He's goofy. And I don't care. I'm not passing any judgment. He's incredible. He's the best player in the world right now. He's playing like the best player in the world. He deserves MVP if it ended today. He's just extraordinary. What he's doing is, we talked about on Thursday, it's just ridiculous. But yeah, LeBron ain't teaming up with that, I don't think.
Okay.
And not the Knicks either.
Not the Knicks. I mean, it's for agency reasons, right? Like, yeah, he's the CAA team.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You got two agencies running east and west. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, Miami. That's where he would go. Right.
I thought about that, but then Jimmy Butler's got to be the three.
Mm.
And I don't love that defensively for them. He's better off probably the four. But no, I thought about, yeah, I just don't see it. Yeah. It's an easy one with Miami for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. He knows all about it. Yeah. Yeah.
What's okay. interesting, though, is when we not know about it. Normally, we don't know about trades. These guys, and let me say this, and you can put it on social media if you want to. All these journalists who are constantly on Twitter telling you about trades, almost always, it's make-believe. Now, I don't mean they're making it up out of whole cloth. They're but as someone who is agents, on the inside, or they just talk to someone's brother, or the seventh scout on a team who's throwing some up, and so that becomes a source, and they throw it out. So just this weekend, Shams Charania, what's his name? I don't follow these guys, so I don't know. It's Shams,
yeah.
Right?
Shams, yeah.
Yeah. So he reported the Kings were deep discussions regarding Siakam, whatever. Well, my sources tell me that's a bunch of hooey, not even close to being accurate. And then, I don't know, a couple hours later, he wrote, oh, the Kings have pulled out. Like, no, it didn't just suddenly happen. I think that he knew going in it wasn't true. But he got someone telling him something. It's just they can't analyze the game. They're not basketball people that way. So this is how they do it, and they get the fans all foaming at the mouth for it. That doesn't mean the Kings can never trade for Siakam, whatever. I'm just saying it was all made up. This happens all the time. We weren't hearing anything about OG or the Knicks, and that deal was probably done a year ago. Whenever they wanted to pull the trigger, they pulled the trigger for whatever reason. Because OG's agent is the son of the guy that runs, Leon Rose. He runs the Knicks. But you didn't hear anything about it. That's normally what happens, is you keep it on radio silent. All the trades I know that are being looked at right now, you'll never hear me. You know this. I don't even tell you. This is the business that these agents are in. They're trying to do deals. The GMs are trying to do deals. And the light of day normally kills the deals. And that is not something a player wants if they want to be traded.
No, it's more useful. And we don't know these things accidentally, right? Like somebody texts Shams or Woj when they want. Like, so if you're trying to light a fire under the Thunder to improve their offer for your player, then you leak that the Kings are interested, right? Like, because now you want them, because now the media can help, right? Now the media can make the Thunder feel a little bit like, oh my God, it's a bidding war, right? Like, and now maybe people go on talk radio and it's like, oh, Sam Presti wouldn't raise his offer at all, right? But that's not the truth, right?
Right. But meanwhile, the team that really is in talks is radio silent.
It's radio silent. Yeah.
Why would you tell them anything? It's like, why would anyone tell a secret for what their business is doing until after the fact? You don't do it.
Yeah. Only if there's like a deal that needs leverage, right? You can shift the leverage a little bit with the media, right? Would be the reason.
You can, but normally it's what you said. If you're trying to get a deal done, you might whisper someone else is involved, whatever. Yeah. But normally it's not coming from the teams. Agents also are normally, people want to trash agents, but the reality is they know how to keep a secret really, really well because they have to. If they want to get a deal done and the light of day is going to kill the deal and their players going to get mad, no, they're not. They're revealing other stuff to make you look over here when the work is happening over here, you know?
So a long time ago, I sold my website to ESPN, right? And ended up with it was a year of meetings and dumb stuff and just like redlining documents and stuff, right? During that year, I learned the term deal donkey. Have you ever heard this term?
A deal donk?
Deal donkey.
No.
A deal donkey is a kind of lawyer. It's a pejorative term for a kind of lawyer who basically just like takes like, we have the deal points. We have bullet points of like roughly we intend to do this. And then you just have to get it into contract language that everybody signs, which involves a ton of pain in the ass back and forth, right? This is how NBA trades happen, right? Is the league is full of deal donkeys, right? These are lawyers or lawyer-ish people who have the secret project of just like, we just got like, this person got this person sign off and this person got this one. And that billionaire is probably going to agree if we do this and then we get the second round pick. And like, so this is like their little baby, right? This is like, the feeling is sort of like a pregnancy to me where it's like, we just worry over this thing so much and we just hope that it can be born and thrive, right? And like, I feel that way. Like, this is why they don't leak it to the media, right? is not be, yeah, they want the team to be good, but also like, this is what they do for a living. They work really hard on like this big deal, right? Like, I mean, Masai's career is like, was really made on with our Carmelo deal, right? Like it's his baby. This is his baby. So yeah, you don't go talk blabbing to Shams about this like delicate thing that could be ruined by going public, right? You keep that super tight.
I'm sorry. I just can't say names, although it happened a long time ago, but most of these names are still running teams or media people now. But there was a situation where a team had a trade happening and I was on the inside of the team. So I knew what was going on. And just as a basketball friend to the people running it, hey, what do you think of this? Well, one team was trying to dump the salary of a good player, but he was in the last year of his deal as part of the deal to this other team. And but the team that was getting this player was going to move that player to a third team, which was a rival of the team that initially employed the player. They didn't want him to have him. Mm-hmm. And one of the more famous, I won't say who it is, but one of the more famous newsbreakers in the industry then and now got wind of it somehow and called the team that was going to be making the deal for the third to change him to the third team. Say, hey, I'm running with this. And the president of the team, or the GM said, no, he's not part of the deal. He's not part of the deal. Trust me, he's not part of the deal. But the reason why he said it is because if the team we were getting the guy from found out, they wouldn't put him in the deal because we're sending him to one of their rivals.
Yeah.
Like they live close proximity. And so the guy didn't write it. The deal happened. And basically this guy threatens, there's a few of them, like, I'm going to destroy you. The next five articles are going to be negative on you because you didn't give me this scoop that I had. But the GM said to me, we needed to do this deal to save X amount of dollars. My owner was really big on that. And if I lose the deal because this guy writes it, that's on me. That's my ass could get fired. I'm not going to give him something. I have to lie. I am trying to get my deal done, to your exact point. This is, we've been working on this for months to get us into the black, in a sense, whatever, you know? That's why I said the Knicks deal with OG, that's been set for a long time. They just, whenever they had to pull the trigger, they pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen fast, typically. Yeah.
Yeah. We're the public, we're ancillary. Like the deal is central. And then the public is like, maybe they get used. Maybe they don't. Right. It's like it's a very kind of cynical, feels like Succession, you know? All right. Really fast.
Right. Which is amazing. Yeah.
The Suns lost to the Grizzlies without Ja. Ooh.
I watched the fourth quarter. It was bad. It was bad. They just, you know, Beal missed shots. KD did okay, but he missed some shots in the fourth quarter. They played no defense. Jaren Jackson Jr. looked great. He's coming. I think he's really coming again. Nurkic just can't finish at the rim. He had a big game. Like, I want to say at one point 18 and 17 in the game, but he just doesn't make shots late at the rim. He's just, you know, grounded. He's very gravity affected. I was disappointed in Beal just not being able to make shots. He's really struggling. And they had been playing better. They had won 5 or 6 going into the game, but this was a bad loss. They kind of were lifeless. If you looked at the offensive rebounder numbers, I think Memphis had 16 offensive boards and Phoenix had 15 or vice versa. But it seemed like in the fourth quarter, Memphis got more than half their offensive rebounds. They were just everywhere. Zaire Williams, Vince Williams, athletic dudes, just all over the place. And that's a bad loss for Phoenix. Yeah. Good win for Memphis, though, without Ja, who had just beat the Lakers with Ja the game before that.
Yeah. Okay, we're 53 minutes in. We're finally getting to the main thing that happened in the NBA, though, which is the Blazers beat the Nets.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game, but yeah, I know you're excited about it.
Why wouldn't you watch the game? It's a perfectly exciting game. It was overtime, super exciting. No, honestly, I don't think it matters. Of course it doesn't matter. But I will say two thoughts, though. One is the Blazers have these no-name rookies, Tomani Kamara and Duop Reith, who are playing like above average NBA defense in the advanced stats. Like, Duop Reith is actually, I mean, he's like a 28-year-old rookie who's played in the G League this year.
Yeah.
But
big advantage.
But he has, he literally has Draymond Green's exact advanced stats on both ends of the floor on dunks and threes right now.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like, I don't think we know enough to know that the Blazers are one of these teams that like can like unearth these gems or whatever. But 2 is better than 0, right? Finding a couple guys who can really play.
Yeah, when you collectively value defense and coach defense, Orlando is doing the same thing with young guys, not necessarily rookies. Although Anthony Black, I think, has a good number too.
He has great numbers. Really does. Yeah.
Yeah. He no surprise. He can really guard. He's long, smart guy. I really like him. So when you we always say if you have one star, it kind of raises the level for all the boats. In theory, in practice, it isn't always that way. But if everyone is connected defensively and all in on the value of caring about your teammate and executing a strategy, whatever, everyone's numbers tend to go up because they're not making as many shots. It's pretty simple math. Hard to look on a defense when even if you're playing well, they just throw it to someone else and that dude scores. That's going to affect your number, whether you're playing great defense or not, you know? And I give Chauncey credit. You and I have talked about this. Something's happened where I think Scoot is a big part of it and DeAndre. Mm-hmm. They've got some anchors defensively to give them a belief that, hey, we can do this. And I do think it's a great recipe going forward. Let's get defense down first, and then our offense will come in hopes that we hope anyway.
And then, you know, we talk about the trade deadline. The other thing that's on my mind from this game is Malcolm Brogdon comes off the bench. I think he scored like 18 points in 21 minutes. And during those minutes, the Blazers were plus 17. This is a role, like, you know, we talk about the Celtics don't have a good, like, a lot of these teams that want to get a little better at the top could use this guy, right? Like it seemed pretty clear he'll end up somewhere. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about where he fits best?
No, not yet. But other than what you said, I'll mirror that. He's on a short list. So Siakam is probably the most likely guy to be traded in terms of rated number one. But Brogdon's high on that list. He definitely, it makes no sense for Portland to keep him. I don't think it does anyway. Unless you want to hire him as an assistant coach, but he's awfully expensive to be an assistant coach for Scoot. You've had him for a few months by February 8th. Also, when they get to that point in their career, like, let him go play for meaningful games.
He wants to. I mean, I don't know. He seems like a great guy. He's in his prime. Yeah. He's a really good player.
He is a great guy. He's
let
president.
Him go
they call
play
the president.
Somewhere. The president,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. We'll start looking at that when we get closer to the trade deadline, because I think there'll be a lot of deals. Is who is the best fit for him? I mean, we had mentioned OKC. I think they need more of a scoring four than another one. But it's not a stupid deal. Like, he's better than Dort.
We can interest you in a Jeremy Grant. I don't know if that's anything. We can talk about that.
He's got to be. He's playing well.
Yeah, he's really
good. Playing
well,
isn't he?
Yeah.
He's really good. That's you in your sales voice. But no, he is good.
No, honestly, I was like, when they gave him all that money, I was like, oh no, this is just like a giant mistake. But the fact is, like, it just wasn't a giant mistake. Like, he's worth his contract. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So someone should be really valuing him.
Yeah.
To make them much better. Yeah. It'll be Portland will be in nice, you know, they'll be in line. They like Shaedon Sharpe. They like Scoot. Anthony Simons went crazy the other day as a scorer, although I think he could be traded too. If they really want to, you know, just go young and split up Scoot and Simons right now, although I think they fit fine with the way Scoot's defending. So he's a good fit next to Anthony. But yeah, those other guys need to be traded.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We don't do this top five thing on Mondays, do we? Or do we?
Nope.
Like, I'm new here. I don't know how it works. Yeah, okay, great, perfect. Okay. Brittany, it's been a pleasure.
Yes. Gerard back on Thursday?
Thank you.
Okay. Gerard's back on Thursday, I believe, right? Do we all agree on that?
Yes.